Taking a Walk with Buzz Knight.
Today on this bonus edition of Taking a Walk, Cody Keenan, how a presidential speechwriter collaborates with former President Obama and navigates the pressure of crafting a message. The name of the book is Grace, the inside story of the most exhilarating and emotional stretch of the Obama presidency as told by Cody Keenan. Cody, welcome to Taking a Walk.
Hey, Buzz, let's take a walk.
So you're situated in New York City. I'm in the Concord, Mass area here, down the road from where the late Richard Goodwin, speechwriter for President Kennedy and President Johnson, and author of many speeches, of course, the We Shall Overcome speech for LBJ. Any reaction on how Mr. Goodwin shaped you as a speechwriter?
Sure. I learned from his wife, Doris, too. You know, you just kind of, you panic when you first win the election going into the White House as a speechwriter, and you just try to reach out to as many people as you can. And I grew up kind of consuming his speeches. You know, even I didn't know it was him, and that's the point. You're not necessarily supposed to know who the speechwriter is. I grew up consuming Ted Sorensen's speeches, and you want to adapt them for a new time. You want to make President Obama sound like only President Obama could. But I absorbed all sorts of lessons from those other speechwriters that came before.
So your path, starting as an intern, did you have your sights set on being a speechwriter, or were there other paths that maybe you were pursuing in that time?
I didn't have my sights set on being a speechwriter at first. After college, I worked for Ted Kennedy for 4 years, which was just a fantastic learning experience. And I eventually started writing speeches for him, and that's when the Obama campaign came calling. I just sort of fell into it, but it was something I had a knack for and something I just constantly improved at over the years, mostly because Barack Obama was a good teacher, as he was a writer. But it was those early years working for Teddy Kennedy that really sort of shaped the way I viewed politics and what makes them so important and how to tell a good story.
So as you were writing Grace, did it take you personally back to those moments of those heated Oval Office debates?
Absolutely. The hardest part about writing Grace was breaking myself of President Obama's voice, just because we had worked so closely together for 14 years that I found myself writing like he would, and I needed to walk away and kind of remember who exactly I was. But it took me right back into those days, and I interviewed the president, a bunch of other people on staff, just to try to remember all the stories and events we went through, because those 10 days were so colossal in the arc of American life that it's just, when we were living through it in real time, we were basically just trying to survive, writing a whole bunch of speeches and make sense of the world. But only in retrospect did those 10 days really make sense to me.
And I got to think sleep was really not an option.
It's non-existent. No, one of my favorite passages in the book, I actually describe what an all-nighter in the West Wing is like, because it's a pretty strange place after midnight. But also just trying to find the words and struggling, and then what that's like. You know, how on earth do you find the right words for, you know, this eulogy in Charleston? He wanted to talk about race and the Confederate flag and gun violence, and it's all fraught and difficult. And as a white speechwriter writing for the first black president, you're just weighing all sorts of different stuff, and there are plenty of times where you just don't feel up to the task, and you don't get to sleep.
Can you describe the editing process? There's been much talked about by others, but you were right in the heat of battle. So what was the process like of editing a speech with President Obama?
Yeah, the way he viewed editing is it's writing. It's just a part of the writing process. He really viewed speech writing as a collaboration. He didn't need something perfect from us that he could just go up and read. He wanted something he could work with and edit and revise and write and make better. And, you know, we as speechwriters always wanted to impress him. We wanted to make that first draft perfect. We just couldn't always get it there. But he would dive in with his pen. You know, his photographer, Pete Souza, has put out all sorts of photos showing this. But he would really get in. He'd rework things. And, you know, in the Charleston eulogy, which is kind of the centerpiece of the book, Grace, he tore up the last two pages, figuratively. He just drew a big line through each of them. But he'd never done that to me before. You know, he heavily marked up the first few pages, but just tossed the rest and rewrote it longhand in 3 hours. You know, it's kind of like Michael Jordan just dunking on you repeatedly. But true to the kind of boss he was and the kind of collaborator he was, you know, he could have just told me I screwed up. Here's this. Go make my edits and get lost. But we sat down for about a half hour around midnight in the White House. He walked me through everything he'd done and why. And that bucked my spirits. You know, I apologized because I felt like I'd failed him in a pretty profound way. And he said, look, brother, we're collaborators. You gave me exactly what I needed to work with here. You'll see some of your work in what I rewrote. But most importantly, when we've been thinking about these issues, you know, race and equality for 40 years, you'll know what you want to say, too.
Was President Obama the type that if you were in the midst of this process and you guys were stuck maybe on a particular direction of a speech, was he the type that would say, hey, let's go take a walk and talk about it just to sort of clear the air and change the scenery?
Yes. Yeah. We'd take a walk around the South Lawn, around the driveway that walks around it just to kind of get through it. I mean, usually we'd stay in the Oval just because he probably had a meeting, you know, starting in 2 minutes, but we would do that. And we'd do it on Air Force One. We'd do it in other cities. The change of scenery is always a big help, but I'd go take a lot of walks on my own when I got stuck, or I'd talk to my team, or I'd talk to my wife, and we all just kind of helped each other through.
And are you doing some post-presidential collaboration with President Obama?
I just left working for him last year. I'll still check in from time to time, and then, you know, I'm always available if he ever needs any help. Right now, I'm beyond this book. I'm actually on campus as we speak at Northwestern University. I have class this morning. I teach a speechwriting course to seniors. And then I have my own speechwriting firm called Fenway. So those are the things that really take up my time.
Well, the students are very fortunate to have you, and we're fortunate to have you on Taking a Walk, Cody Keenan. Thank you for your time and your generosity.
Thanks so much.
Good luck on the book.
I appreciate it.
Taking a Walk with Buzz Knight is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.